This month, we are observing 45 years of CWH. We continue to glorify and honor God, help people come to know Jesus, and comfort God's people. We are grateful for your love and support throughout the years. We hope you will be uplifted by today's message. You can have a vision of God.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And here it is, another week has rolled by, and are we ever happy to be here to see you and to worship with you today. And we hope you've had a good week, and you know, when we have the Lord, even if things go bad, we still can rejoice in the Lord. What a wonderful Savior. And today we're going to have a sermon about you can have a vision of God, and and we're going to look at the Isaiah and how that he had this vision of God and got some wonderful lessons from it. But first, I want to read some of the letters. I thank you for the letters, and I thank you for the gifts, because without your giving and your prayers, we couldn't carry on. I don't think we could carry on a month. We're just like the dentist. We're just hand to mouth. That's the way we live. And so we just have to depend on you. We're not underwritten by any congregation or a corporation or anything like that. It's God's people, just God's message to God's people, and then we leave that up between you and the Lord. But anyway, here's some letters. Pierre, South Dakota. And this lady writes and says, "My husband likes, in fact, he loves your service. He says it's real and not fancy." Well, you know, that's one thing I'm a farm boy from out in western South Dakota. I'm proud of it. And used to herd sheep out there, and I'm just a poor old everyday sinner saved by grace. And I couldn't get fancy if I wanted to. And so we're just who we are. That you see what you see. What you see is what you get. But we do love the Lord, and we love you, and we want you to come to know Jesus and grow in grace. Here's Des Moines, Iowa. "I'm a 96-year-old widow. I'm jealous of her. She's a year older than I am. That's don't like that, but that's all right. I'm a 96-year-old widow, not able to go to church. I don't hear very well, but I can turn the television sound up so I can send my Sundays listening to the Lord's messages." And so here's what she can do. You might have trouble going to church. You should go to church if you possibly can. But there's some that just can't, and now here she can't hear, but she can turn it really loud. And I want to tell you what happened. We had a man one time, and he always turned us on. He lived in an apartment house with a lot of other tenants, and he said he turned it as loud as it would go, and then he opened the door so everybody could hear. And that's a wonderful way to broadcast the gospel. But I don't know what the neighbors did about that, and come to think of it, we haven't heard from him for a long time, so he might be gone someplace, I don't know. But that's the way he was in getting out the gospel, and who knows? Here is Cheyenne, Wyoming. "Because of illness, we have not been able to attend our church for service in months. We're so thankful and blessed that we have been able to worship with the Christian Worship Hour. Thank God for your ministry. Keep preaching the word of God. Blesses so many of us. God bless your faithfulness." And you know, we pray for the shut-ins. We have many, many people. They're on beds of sickness. They're in wheelchairs. They're confined to some place. Or they just have their own home, but they can't get out. And so we just think about you. You're part of our church. And we're worshiping the Lord together, and the Holy Spirit's with us, and the Word of God is with us. And what more do you want? So just thank you for writing, and so glad we could bless you. One more I want to read, and that is Tucson, Arizona. And all listen to this. "Your preaching is not only old time, but forever time. People need to hear about the importance of our eternal life with or without Jesus now more than ever." And so that's exactly it, forever time. And I'm an old timer. I'm not only from another generation, I'm from another century. I'm an old timer, but I've got that same gospel that I started with 73 years ago, same gospel. It's never changed a bit. And what are we told in Hebrews 13:8? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so it's always up to date when you read the Bible. Preach the Bible. Well, we hope that you'll write to us. Love to hear from you. People like to hear other Christian people. It's a time of communicating with the whole body of Christ all over the world. So we'll look for your letter. But let's look at this story now about the vision of God. And the scriptures speak of many visions different people have had of God. And one of the outstanding visions was Isaiah. And we read about it. Isaiah 6 in verses 1 to 8 in its opening verses. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go. Isaiah dates the time of his vision. He says it in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, Uzziah was a marvelous, marvelous king, and he reigned over Judah for 52 years. He started reigning when he was only 16 years old, went 52 years. It was remarkable in many ways, and he made the land just grow and look good and beautiful. And Uzziah had a wonderful reign in many ways until it came to a certain point. And that was that how his successes gave him the big head. And he became proud of his accomplishments. And in his pride, he forgot God. That I've seen it happen 100 times over. He forgot God. He had been victorious over many perils. Now he'd fallen to the peril of prosperity. And so many today, like Uzziah, started great with God, but became proud. And they rebel against God, and they go their own way, and they do their own thing, and they are their own God. That's what Uzziah did until one day God dealt with him and he was smitten with leprosy and he lived the rest of his life in the home for the lepers. Now Uzziah had died and Isaiah had known no other king but Uzziah all of his life. That has been his king. Now the king was dead and the throne was empty. And the king Uzziah died. That would spread all over the land. If the place is empty, the throne is empty, the king is dead, what are we going to do? It's a sight he never forgot. I remember when President Kennedy was assassinated. I can tell you exactly where I was. I never forgot that place. Chaos was everywhere now in Uzziah's day. Judah was fast falling in the way that Israel had taken. And so just seemed like everything's breaking up, and like the psalmist said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that's the way Isaiah the prophet felt. How would it ever succeed? How would they ever do these things? How would it ever go? And so he writes, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord God, sitting upon a throne. How beautiful! Behind the empty throne of Uzziah, there was a throne that was never empty. It's the throne of God Almighty, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he had that vision. And oh, so many times our hearts ache when we see how the world is going and wonder if the king is there. But I'm going to here to tell you, Jesus Christ is on that throne and he'll have his way. And when he wants to come and end everything, he'll come and end it. And the trumpet will sound and time will be no more. No man will stop it. Maybe Uzziah, the king, is dead and the throne is empty. Not the throne of God Almighty. That's never empty. And so he looks high and mighty and great as he is. And so he says, we have to have a vision of the Spirit of God. We have to have a vision of God. And we get it as we go into the Bible and as we read about him. We're not going to have a vision like Isaiah did, but we can still get to know him and see him. And sometimes you can't see his spirit. You can't see God. No man has seen God at any time. So we don't look upon him with the human eye. but with the heart and with the soul, we can. And just because he's a spirit doesn't mean that we can't, that he isn't there. Because we have radio and television, and those waves are going all over, and you can't see them at all until it comes to that set. But they are there, and then they can show on the television set. So just because you can't see something with the eye doesn't mean it won't exist and doesn't exist. But if we listen, even though our eye cannot see the spirit, the heart can hear him talking and the soul can hear him talking, and you can just know that he is there, and his word will speak to you as you live for him and walk with him, serving him. What Isaiah saw was God's throne and his train, that is the skirts of his garments. And he says, as the train filled all the earth. And so here's this God, this great God. His throne is in heaven, and the earth is his footstool, and his gown fills all of the earth. What a magnificent, great, and wonderful God. And we're going to see him someday. And Isaiah, when he saw that, had that vision, he was awestruck. He was amazed. He was filled with wonder. He didn't know what to think. And he cries out and he says, woe is me. Woe is me. It was a day that he never forgot. Until his dying day, he remembered when he met God Almighty and he saw him on that throne. Never forgot it. Now let's look at that and take some lessons. First of all, I want to tell you, we can have a vision of God if we want it. Not precisely the same manner that Isaiah had, for we're all different, and we are, and God comes to all of us in different ways to talk to us. Even to the unsaved, he comes, and he wants to come to your heart, and he wants to come into your life. He's a personal God, and he deals with us in different ways, because we have different reactions, we have different points of view, we have different emotions, we have different backgrounds. We're all different, and God comes to us in his own world, in his own way. He comes in our world. And when he came to the shepherds, they were out in the field. He came to the shepherds in the field. He came to the wise men. He came through the star and spoke to the stars. He talked to the tax collector at the receipt of custom. Yes, we are not to suppose that we're going to see the exact thing that Isaiah saw, but we can have that vision. You see, we can have it if we want it. We can, as we study the Bible, the Word of God, God will reveal himself to us as we read the Scriptures. And if you haven't been reading your Bible, start in the Gospel of John. It's a beautiful book, and you'll see God there. As we worship in the church, in his house, we know he'll reveal himself. Where two or three are gathered together, he says, I'll be in the midst. I'm there with you. You can't put your hand on me. And with the naked eye, you can't see me. And I am there just like ether waves carry pictures. And they're all over this place. We can't see them. We can't touch them. But they are there. And when we wander with the shut-ins and you're all by yourself, and you say, oh, I can't go to church and I can't be with the rest. Well, then I'm going to tell you that dear Lord Jesus Christ knows you just as though you were the only person in the world. You are that important to him, and he's always there. And then we get a vision of God when we pray. You remember Jesus was transfigured when he prayed. Spend time praying, talking to God. As we meditate upon his word, we have visions and given us, opens things to us. Peter had a vision of all the animals coming down on a sheet while he was meditating, while he having his devotions. He had that vision, got to see those things. As we serve God by helping others, doing deeds of kindness, give them a cup of cold water or something to help them, God will reveal and show himself to us. You just can tell that he's there and with us. As we walk with the Lord daily, his presence becomes more and more plain. And so this kind of vision is needed. And that kind of a vision reveals just who God is. But to exactly know who God is, you have to read his word, study his word. And there's so many people have their own ideas of what God is like. And to some, he's a great grandfather up in heaven. And he gives you anything you want to these old grandpas. Grandmas, they don't do it so much, but grandpas, you can't count on them. And they'll give him anything he wants. God, they think God is that way, and he'll answer every whim that we have. And he's not a God like that, because he's a stern God, and he has rules, and he has ways to lead us and to guide us. He is a God of love, but he's also a God of justice. And he's a stern God, and he's a holy God, and he hates sin, and he won't have sin in heaven. And I don't care what you think about God, and so never turning you away from heaven. But if you come in your sins, there's an awful place of torment, and that's reserved for those, for the devil and his angels, and those who refuse Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God, not the love of God. The wrath of God abideth on him. That is, if you die in your sins and you don't have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you have nothing to look forward to but awful, fearful judgment. And so we just come to this wonderful Lord. We can have a vision if we're looking for him. Just not dreams and that, but you'll see him and you'll know him and you'll understand him. We must all have that vision because it's necessary for salvation. You see, if we don't see God in his holiness, then we think we're okay just the way we are. And you talk to some people and God tells us that he's a holy God and we need to separate ourselves and follow him. And then there are people who say, he's better. I'm better than some of the members in your church. And if they say that, if your church is like my church, don't argue with them, because they may be morally perfect, very, very good people. And I don't put anybody down that's morally good, but morally good won't get you into heaven. You have to come to Jesus Christ and rinse. When you come to the face of Jesus Christ, you'll see that though you are so righteous and so morally good, you'll find yourself that you're filthy, clean, and unclean. And you'll do like Isaiah and you'll cry, "Woe is me, for I am undone." You'll be like Peter when he brought the whole drought of fish in and he sent men, meant Jesus Christ. And he says, "Depart from me, O God, for I am a wicked man, a sinful man." You have to have that vision of who you are, a poor, lost sinner going to hell, and there's no way except through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the only way. He that hath the Son hath life. In John 5:24, my favorite verse in the Bible, and that where Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life." The minute you believe, you have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't be cast into hell, but you passed from death unto life. John 5:24. And you could pray it, and you ought to pray it right now if you haven't done it before. Oh God, oh Jesus, come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll turn from them the best I can. And I'll follow you and make the Lord in my life. You can have that vision if you want it. And then another thing, that vision comes, we always seize ourselves, is this as Peter, woe and unclean. And this poor Isaiah, when he had that vision, he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips." This always happens when a man sees God for the first time. He sees his own sin, and he sees his own worthlessness and his own unworthiness. That's the way Peter felt when he saw Christ and he said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." That's what Isaiah is saying right now. He's getting a vision of God. He's seeing who God is, and he's saying, "God, I'm a sinner." And when that Holy Spirit talks to you and convicts you of sin, you say, "Oh my God, I am a sinner. And I ask you to forgive me and take away my sins, oh Jesus Christ. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb, because that's the only way that'll take away my sins." You need to make that prayer. Isaiah was a great man. He was a clean man. He was a good man. And there I say, that's where the danger is. You think you're so good and everything will be all right. but it isn't going to work. You have to have Jesus Christ. And so he talks about the tongue, because out of the tongue we speak of our lives, and we have to turn to the Lord. And then we see that the vision also tells us that cleansing comes from God alone. It was God alone. The angel of God came from the altar and touched Isaiah's lips with a coal of fire, and he was cleansed. And when we cry out in God for our sinfulness and our vileness, and we come to him in the form of his Son, he will cleanse us with his blood of the Lamb, and all of our sins will be taken away. And all of our righteousness, not by righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. He does not come from man. Isaiah's help didn't come from man, it came from God. And that's exactly the way he is with us today. It has to be God. And like Peter said, it has to be the Spirit of God. It has to be the blood of Christ. And Peter writes and said, we are not redeemed with the corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. And that's what happened with Isaiah. He was cleansed with the coals of fire. And when we in this day and age, we're cleansed with the blood of Christ, when we call upon his name in our own way, just call upon his name. And I want to ask you, have you been washed in the blood? Have you been cleansed of your sins? Jesus says there's only one way, and that's through me. And you will never be cleansed of your sins, and you'll never get rid of your sins until you come to the dear Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll take away our sins, and he'll cleanse us from all sin, and we're pure and we're clean. And then after the cleansing comes the service. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs off the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged. There is the confession. And then he has confessed how he's a sinner. And there's the cleansing. And then there's the call. And God says, who will go for me? There's no draftees in God's army. You have to volunteer. And that's what Isaiah did. Isaiah heard God saying, who will go for us? And he said, here am I, send me. And God said, go. And that's what God is calling upon us today, is there's a sequence here. First, we are cleansed and saved, born again, cleansed. And then we are in his service, obedient in his service. And in that way, we walk with Jesus and we trust with Jesus, and he helps us and leads us. And finally, we must volunteer. Here am I, send me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Oh, friends, we need workers all along the line for God. God needs young people. He needs old people. He needs all of us. And he wants us to be in his service. And there are so many, sin is so rampant. There are so many dying without Jesus Christ. And there is no hope when they die without Jesus Christ. There are so many that are lonely. There are so many that are weary. There are so many that are sad. People with heartache in this world. God needs us to follow him, to serve him, and to go out into the world and do this ministry for Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us then look at our sin and let us confess it promptly to Jesus. And after we received our cleansing from Jesus, then let us go out and serve him. Let us ask for permission to serve. Let us have put ourselves at God's disposal. And so I'm praying right today that you're accepting Jesus, and then multitudes are giving yourself to Jesus. And you're saying, I'm going to be a servant of you, Lord, just like Isaiah so long ago. You're saying, who will go for me? And you're some young person, or you're some other person, maybe older person. You say, I'll go. Or you say, well, I'm a shut-in. How can I go? You can dedicate yourself, and you can pray, and you can witness, and you can talk to those that you meet, and you can serve him wherever you are. But you have to have the Christ. And then you have to give yourself to him to first service. Now, if you've prayed that prayer to ask Jesus into your heart, we want to ask you to write to us, and we're going to send you literature. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is so easy. It's box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send a gift, we'd appreciate that a lot. As a matter of fact, you could send a gift from anywhere in the world. You just get ChristianWorshipHour.com, and there's a donate place. Anywhere in the world you can send it, we'll get an American currency and pay our bills. And then we have our new song, a little Bible study, and that's free and postpaid. And all again, I want to give it to you people on the short wave. Christian Worship Hour, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'd love to hear from you. And then we're going to just band together all over the world. And wouldn't that be great if we could just see who they are? But I have the feeling that all over the world, people are turning to Jesus right now. And so I'm going to pray for you. And in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church. We're going to pray for those in Vietnam. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the multitudes that are opening their heart to you. Thank you for the multitudes that are standing up and say, here I am, Lord, send me. And you'll show them where to go and what to do. And then, dear Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Vietnam, the persecuted church. Oh, my dear Lord, how they suffer for you, and some being put to death, and homes are decimated, and children see parents put to death. And dear God, just I know you'll be with them special. And then when the moment they give their life for you, they're wearing a sir, they're in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They're in heaven in glory with you. So bless them and help them to know we're praying for them. Be with the shut-ins, Lord, and help them to know that you'll never leave them or forsake them. And help us all to love you and serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we're just going to have to close out for this time. We hope that you'll write to us. We need to have your support, Christian Worship Hour. The box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We're going to be praying for you, and we're asking that you pray for us. And all over the world, we're praying for each other. We're praying for the kingdom of God. We're praying for the lost. We're praying for the hurt. We're praying for the suffering. We're praying that God will be glorified in our ministry. And we're rejoicing because God loves us. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you. Every time we have a service, we pray. And we pray, oh God, help us to help everybody. And we do it in Jesus' precious name. So God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.